Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there. We want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio and to the Barbecue Superstars Radio Network. We hope that everybody's having a very wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. And, folks, we won't be having Barbecue Shop Talk tonight now. You could go back and revert and look at last week's show. That's what he wanted me to do. But instead, since we've got a live thing to go, we want to just throw out a whole lot of Christmas cheer and Thanksgiving. And folks, we hope you ate a lot of turkey today. I did. We went over to my mom's. We actually had a huge table set out. 20 people were there at the table. And I tried to eat a little bit of everything that was made, and I like to kill myself. I literally came home, took a two-hour nap because I haven't ate that much in a long time. But it sure was good. It was nice to see my family. And my son is going to be a preacher. His name's Joshua. And he gave a little message at the table, which made it real nice. But we're going to take you back a couple of years to start off with this green guy who thought he could stop Christmas by stealing Christmas.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be that his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find a way to keep Christmas from coming. For tomorrow he knew. All the Who girls and boys would wake up bright and early. They'd rush for their toys and then, oh the noise, 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 noise. That's one thing he hated. The noise, 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 noise. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They would start on Who pudding and rare Who roast beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand. And the Whos would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of the Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop the whole thing. Why, for 53 years I put up with it now. I must stop Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do, the Grinch laughed in his throat. And he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked, what a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I'll look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer. The Grinch looked around, but since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the Grinch? No, the Grinch simply said. If I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max, and then he took some red thread, and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks on a ramshackle sleigh, and he hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, "Giddy up!" And the sleigh started down toward the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark, quiet snow filled the air. All the Whos were dreaming sweet dreams without care. When he came to the first house in the square, "This is stop number one," the old Grinchy Claus hissed. And he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who stockings all hung in a row. "These stockings," he grinned, "are the first things to go." Then he slithered and slunk, with a smile most unpleasant, around the whole room, and he took every present. Popguns and bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn and plums. And he stuffed them in bags, and then the Grinch, very nimbly, stuffed all the bags, one by one, up the chimney. Then he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. "And now," grinned the Grinch, "I will stuff up the tree." And the Grinch grabbed the tree, and he started to shove, when he heard a small sound, like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast, and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou Who, who was not more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this little Who daughter, who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, "Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why?" But you know that old Grinch was so smart and so slick, he thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick. "Why, my sweet little tot," the fake Santa Claus lied, "there's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, then I'll bring it back here." And his fib fooled the child, then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. Then the last thing he took was the log for their fire. Then he went up the chimney himself, the old liar. On their walls he left nothing but hooks and some wire. And the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. Then he did the same thing to the other Who's houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's mouses. It was quarter past dawn, all the Who's still abed, all the Who's still a snooze, when he packed up his sled, packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags and the tinsel, the trimmings, the trappings, 3,000 feet up. Up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode to the tip-top to dump it. "Pooh-hoo to the Who's," he was grinchishly humming. "They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up, and I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then all the Who's down in Whoville will all cry, 'Boo-hoo.' That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I simply must hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry. Very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast.
Christmas is about love. It's about food, family, friends, and fun. Just like barbecue, folks. We live it every day. It is our way of life. And I'm so glad to be a part of this barbecue community. We're living the barbecue lifestyle, folks, and there's no reason why we can't include all parts of our lives along with barbecue. And God bless every barbecue team out there and everybody who's listening today. Barbecue Superstars loves you in every single way. We want to hear from Ben Crosby right now, a little bit of White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen. Hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Been a lot of work done this year. A lot of teams competed a long ways. A lot of catering companies who put out a lot of barbecue, and a lot of barbecue restaurants that never shut down. And for all you people out there that live the barbecue lifestyle every day, this weekend is for you, and we want to give thanks on this Thanksgiving for everyone who works in barbecue. And folks, we got a little white fluffy man that I know you know who he is, and we had a bad magician who lost his hat out the window, and this is what happened.
I suppose it all started with the snow. You see, it is a very special kind of snow. A snow to make the happy happier and the giddy even prettier. A snow to make a homecoming homier and natural enemies friends. Natural. For it was the first snow of the season. And as any child can tell you, there's a certain magic to the very first snow, especially when it falls on the day before Christmas. For when the first snow is also a Christmas snow, well, something wonderful is bound to happen.
children, back to your seats. The snow can wait. Now, now. I've hired Professor Hinkle, the magician, to entertain at today's class Christmas party. So pay attention.
Now, Professor Hinkle was just about the worst magician in the world.
And so, I put the magic eggs into my hat. Abracadabra, to coin the phrase. And voila, the eggs have turned into... Hocus pocus, where are you? Bah, the only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
About to do.
Well, Hocus Pocus raced back to the children just as fast as it could.
Look, the hat's back. Let's see if it'll make Frosty alive again.
Happy birthday! Hey, I said my first words. But snowmen can't talk. All right, come on now. What's the joke? Could I really be alive? I mean, I can make words. I can move. I can juggle. I can sweep. I can count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 6, 8. Well, I can count to 5. What do you know? I'm even ticklish. In fact, I'm all living. I am alive. What a neat thing to happen to a nice guy like me.
That must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. So when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter, Frosty?
Whew. Is there a thermometer around here?
Over there in the wall. Why?
Oh, I was afraid of that. The thermometer's getting red. I hate red thermometers.
Why, Frosty?
Because when the thermometer gets all reddish, the temperature goes up. And when the temperature goes up, I start to melt. And when I start to melt, I get all wishy-washy.
Then you've got to go someplace where you'll never melt.
The only place I'd never melt is the North Pole.
Then we've got to get you there.
Yeah, we'll take you downtown to the railroad station and put you on a train.
Great. I always wanted to see the town. Let's make a party out of it. Let's have a parade. Traffic light.
Up there on the lamppost.
What's a lamppost?
Oh, you want a ticket, wise guy?
I'd love one. To the North Pole, please.
Huh?
You've got to excuse him, sir. You see, he just came to life, and he doesn't know much about such things.
Oh, well, okay, if he just came to life. Move along! That silly snowman. Once they come to life, they don't know nothing.
Come to life?
Mm-hmm.
like a ticket to the North Pole, please.
Well, North Pole? Oh, yes, ma'am. Route you by the way of Saskatchewan, Hudson Bay, Nome, Alaska, the Klondike and Aurora Borealis. Gotta make a change at Nanook of the North, you know. That'll be $3,000.04, including tax.
Oh, but we don't have any money.
No money! No money, no ticket!
Now I'll never get to the North Pole.
Oh, Frosty, you just can't melt.
Oh, Karen, don't you get all slushy, too.
What is it, Hocus? Out the window? A refrigerated boxcar on a train headed north. You'll be safe there, Frosty. Come on. It's full of ice cream and frozen Christmas cakes.
What a neat way to travel.
Hurry up, Frosty. The train is pulling out.
Are you coming to the North Pole, too?
I'm sure my mother won't mind, as long as I'm home in time for supper.
Frosty the Snowman had a hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye saying, "Don't cry, I'll be back again someday."
I must get that hat back. Think nasty, think nasty, think nasty.
He'll be back again someday.
Now actually, a refrigerated boxcar is a splendid way to travel. Splendid, that is, if one is a snowman or a furry-coated rabbit. But for Karen...
Are you cold, Karen? Now, that's a silly question. You wouldn't be sneezing if you weren't cold.
Well, just a little.
Frosty realized that Karen had to get out of that car as soon as possible. So when the little freight train stopped to let an express full of happy Christmas travelers pass, Frosty took advantage of the opportunity and quickly got them all out.
Oh, you tricked me! No fair!
The only thing Professor Hinkle could do was make a jump for it. Frosty wanted to get as far away as he could before Hinkle woke up. But the woods through which they traveled were still bitterly cold.
Hocus, I've got to get Karen all warmed up, or she's a goner. I can't make a fire. Oh, boy. That's one thing I really can't do. Guess we just better keep moving till we find someone who can.
Then suddenly they came upon a tiny glade, which seemed almost magical. For it was Christmas Eve, and the woodland animals were all decorating for their big celebration. They knew Santa was to come that night, and they wanted everything to be just right.
Hocus, speak to the animals. See if they won't all pitch in and build a fire for Karen.
The animals were delighted at help. So they flung the spot away from the glen, where the fire wouldn't catch on to the tree. Soon there was a spark, and in almost no time, a splendid fire was crackling away. Frosty was careful to stay far away from the flame.
Hocus, we've got to find someone to help Karen get home before she freezes. And me to the North Pole before I melt. But who? No, not the Marines. No, not the President of the United States. Oh, they were both swell ideas, but we've got to find someone nearby. Yeah, Santa Claus. That's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that before? Hocus, you go back with the animals. And when Santa comes, you bring him right here. Understand? Hurry now!
And so Frosty kept a silent vigil, waiting patiently all through the night until Santa would arrive. But suddenly...
Oh, a campfire. Well, isn't that all snug and comfy?
No, don't!
Now, give me that hat or else.
Or else what?
Well, don't bother me with details. Give me that hat.
Get on my shoulders, Karen.
You see, Frosty, since he was made of snow himself, was the fastest belly whopper in the world. And old Professor Hinkle was soon far out distant. And now it was Frosty's good fortune that right at the bottom of the hill was a tiny greenhouse used to grow precious tropical poinsettias for Christmas.
It's got to be all warm and snug inside for those Christmas flowers to grow so beautiful. Let's go in.
Oh, but you will melt.
Just a little. I'll only stay inside for a minute. Besides, I've been meaning to take off a little weight anyway. Staying here much longer and I'll really make a splash in the world.
Now I've got you. And the minute you're all melted, the hat will be mine.
Santa had arrived, but was he too late? Hocus explained the situation to Santa, who, as you know, speaks a fluent rabbit. And when they didn't find Frosty and Karen on the hill, Santa followed Frosty's pad in the snow to the greenhouse. But when they got inside, a terrible sight met their eyes. Frosty, the snowman, was a happy, jolly soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose. and two eyes made out of coal. They were too late.
Too late? Why, nonsense. Oh, don't cry, Karen. Frosty's not gone for good. You see, he was made out of Christmas snow, and Christmas snow can never disappear completely. Oh, it sometimes goes away for almost a year at a time and takes the form of spring and summer rain. But you can bet your boots that when a good, jolly December wind kisses it, it'll turn into Christmas snow all over again.
Yes, but he was my friend.
Just watch.
Wait a minute. I want that hat, and I want it now.
Don't you dare touch that.
And just what are you going to do about it?
If you so much as lay a finger on the brim, I'll never bring you another Christmas present as long as you live.
Never?
Never.
No more trick cards or magic balls or...
No more anything.
Oh, that's not fair. I mean, we evil magicians have to make a living, too.
Now you go home and write, "I am very sorry for what I did to Frosty 100 zillion times. And then maybe, just maybe, mind you, you'll find something in your stocking tomorrow morning.
A new hat, maybe? Oh, yes, sir. Goodbye, everyone. Sorry to lose and run, but I've got to get busy writing. Busy, busy, busy.
Come on, Frosty. We're all waiting for you.
Happy birthday!
Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
And so Santa took Karen home and made ready to bring Frosty back to the North Pole again. Karen hated to say goodbye to Frosty. But as Santa promised, Frosty returned every year with the magical Christmas snow. And every year there was a great celebration with a big Christmas parade.
Look at that Frosty go. Over the hills of snow, Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose, and two eyes made out of coal.
And with Frosty the Snowman, Christmas was always very merry indeed. You have a merry Christmas too.
Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way.
But he waved goodbye, saying, "Don't you cry.
I'll be back on Christmas Day."
I love Frosty the Snowman. And you know, I also love The Night Before Christmas. The Night Before Christmas has always been something I listen to every single year.
Take it, SpongeBob.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring."
"Because someone had stolen all the spoons."
"Not even a borpouse."
"The stockings were hung by the chimney with care,
in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there."
"The children were nestled all snug in their beds."
while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads.
And Mama in her kerchief.
And I in my cap.
Had just settled down for a long winter's nap.
When out on the lawn...
I love the lawn.
There arose such a clatter.
I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter.
Away to the window.
I flew like a flash.
Tore open the shutters and threw up...
This tree is heavy.
The sash. The moon and the breast of the new fallen snow
gave the luster of midday to objects below.
When what to my wondering eyes should appear?
But a miniature sleigh!
And a tiny reindeer.
Remember, that was his first name, Tiny.
With a little old driver.
So lively and quick!
I knew in a moment.
It must be St. Nick.
More rapid than eagles.
His coursers, they came.
And he whistled.
And shouted.
And called him by name.
Now Dasher, now Dancer.
Now Prancer and Vixen.
On Comet.
On Cupid.
On Donder and Blitzen. Sorry, didn't mean to leave you for last, Blitzen.
To the top of the porch.
To the top of the wall.
Now dash away.
Dash away.
Dash away all.
Sounds like a commercial for Dash.
As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly.
When they met with an obstacle, mount to the sky.
So up to the house.
The coursers. They flew.
With the sleigh full of toys.
And St. Nicholas, too.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof
the prancing and pawing of each little hoof
as I drew in my hand
and was turning around.
Down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound.
He was dressed all in fur.
From his head to his foot.
And his clothes were all tarnished.
With ashes and fat.
A bundle of toys he had flung on his back.
And he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. I'm going to lose this. This is too much, fellas. You know what I mean?
His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses.
His nose, like a cherry.
His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow.
And the beard of his chin was as white as the snow.
The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth.
And the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath.
He had a broad face and a round little belly
that shook when he laughed.
Like a bowl full of jelly.
He was chubby and plump like a jolly old elf, like me.
Shut up.
And I laughed when I saw him.
In spite of myself.
A wink of his eye and a twist of his head.
Soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word but went straight to his work.
And filled all the stockings.
Then turned
with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose.
And giving a nod up the chimney he rose.
He sprang to a sleigh till his team gave a whistle.
And away they all flew.
Like the down of a thistle.
This is the climax, folks.
But I heard him exclaim.
Ere he drove out of sight.
Happy Christmas to all.
Happy Christmas to all.
Happy Christmas to all.
Happy Christmas to all.
Happy Christmas to all. Happy Christmas to all.
Happy Christmas to all.
Happy Christmas to all. And to all, a good night.
And happy Hanukkah, too.
One more, Don. This time, could you be a little merrier?
Hey, I hope everybody's having a wonderful Thanksgiving. And, Thanksgiving is a time when we can all come together and accept people for who they are, even though they might be a little bit different. And, Dumbo, the elephant, he experienced that and went through a lot of toils and trials. And so we're going to play us Dumbo and hope you all enjoy it. And we'll be back in an hour or so to wind up the show. And Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
through the gale, through the wind and through the rain, over mountain, over plain, through the blinding lightning flash and the mighty thunder crash. Ever faithful, ever true, nothing stops him. He'll get through.
Look out for Mr. Stork, a persevering chap, to come along and drop a bundle in your lap. You may be poor or rich, it doesn't matter which. Millionaires, they get theirs like the butcher and the baker. So look out for Mr. Stork, and let me tell you, friend, don't try to get away. He'll find you in the end. He'll spot you out in China or he'll fly to county court. So you better look out for Mr. Stork.
Around here somewhere. I hope. Oh, watch it there.
Here, Highway 61, 4 miles to the gas station, turn left. Ah, that must be it. Well, little fella, let's get going. Mrs. Jumbo, oh, Mrs. Jumbo, calling Mrs. Jumbo. Mrs. Jumbo. Oh, hi. Mrs. Jumbo. Oh, where is that Mrs. Jumbo? Whew, at last. Which one of you ladies is expecting?
Not me.
The very idea.
Certainly not. Over there.
Of course. Yeah, right over there.
Oh, of course. Here is a baby with eyes of blue, straight from heaven right to you. Or, straight from heaven, up above, here is a baby for you to love. Sign here, please. Mrs. Jumbo. One moment, please. This is still part of the service. Happy birthday to you. A happy birthday to you. A happy birthday, dear me, what's his name?
Jumbo Junior.
Oh, Jumbo Junior, huh? Jumbo Junior. Happy birthday, dear Jumbo Junior. Happy birthday to
thank you. Wait a minute, jump the wire! think she went a bit too far.
After all, one mustn't forget one is a lady.
Oh, you're right, dear. Yes. Oh, well, I suppose that's mother love.
But it's certainly no excuse for what she did.
Mother love might cover a multitude of sins.
Do, my dear.
Look, I can't eat in peace. Gab, Gab, Gab. Who is gossiping?
Girls, listen. Have I got a trunk full of dirt?
Well, darling, go on.
Well, I heard today that they have put her in solitary confinement.
No.
You don't mean it.
Oh, how awful for her.
Well, I must say, I don't blame her for anything.
You're absolutely right. It's all the fault of that little F-R-E-A-K.
Yes, him with those ears that only a mother could love.
What's the matter with his ears? I don't see nothing wrong with them. I think they're cute.
Ladies, it's no laughing matter at all.
Oh, she's right, girl.
Don't forget that we elephants have always walked with dignity. His disgrace is our own shame.
Yes, that's true. Oh, indeed it is. Yes.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't eat at the same bale of hay with him.
No,
right.
No, dearie.
I should
say. No, that's just how I feel about
here
it.
Here he comes now.
Pretend you don't see him.
How do you like that? Giving him the cold shoulder. Poor little guy. There he goes, without a friend in the world. Nobody to turn to. Oh, I'll do something about this.
Guys, huh? Well, why don't you pick on me?
Ugh. A proud race. Overstuffed hay bags.
You don't trust me. Because I thought, you and me, we might get your mother out of the clink. But I guess you wouldn't be interested. So long, Dumbo. Well, that's more like it. You know, Thelma ain't crazy. She's just broken-hearted. It ain't nobody's fault you got them big ears. Uh-oh, boy, I stepped in at that time. Oh, gee, Dumbo. I think your ears are beautiful.
Sure. As a matter of fact, I think they're very decorative. You know, lots of people with big ears are famous.
Oh, boy. All we gotta do is build an act. Make you a star. A headliner. Dumbo the Great. The Great what?
You know, Dumbo, we gotta get an idea. Not just any idea. Something colossal. Like,
have I got an idea? What an idea!
Huh. He never had an idea this time.
Just visualize. One elephant climbs up on top of another elephant until finally all 17 elephants have constructed an enormous pyramid of pachyderms. I step out. I blow the whistle. The trumpets are trumpeting.
Yeah.
And now comes the climax.
Yeah? What is the climax?
I don't know.
I know he never had nothing.
Well, maybe it comes to me in a vision while I dream. Good night, Joe.
Good night, boss.
Climax. Climax! Dumbo, you're a climax. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to take care of your future. The voice of your subconscious mind, your inspiration. Now, concentrate. Remember, your pyramid of elephants is standing in a ring, waiting for a climax. You are now getting that climax. How's the reception? Coming through okay? Good. Suddenly, from the sidelines comes your climax. Galloping across the arena. He jumps from a springboard to a platform at the very pinnacle of your pyramid. He waves a flag for a glorious finish. And who is your climax? The little elephant with the big ears. The world's mightiest midget mastodon, Dumbo. Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Dumbo. I got it! I got it!
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now present for your entertainment the most stupendous, magnificent, super colossal spectacle!
And this tiny, little, insignificant ball, we will construct for you a pyramid! Not of wood!
To hear him talk, you'd think he was going to do it.
The stuffed shirt.
Pyramid of ponderous, pulsating, pulchritudinous pachyderms. I give you the elephants.
Cream puff yourself, dearie.
Quiet up there. Tend to your work, girl. Take your foot out of my eye, clumsy ox. Steady, girl.
Okay, don't wave anymore. I saw you. Now look, all you gotta do is run out. See? Jump on a springboard. All right, now show me just how you're gonna do it. That's it. Atta boy. That's the stuff. Come on. Oh, Dumbo. Oh, those ears. We gotta do something quick.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have now seen the impossible.
come to the point.
And now I present the world's smallest little elephant, who will spring from this springboard in one spring to the top of this pyramid, waving his little flag for a grand climax. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Dumbo.
I'd live to see the big top fall.
Because of that Dumbo, I never can show my face there again.
Oh, look at my beautiful tail.
I'd just like to spank the daylights out of him. Oh,
that won't be necessary, dearie. They fixed him good.
What do you mean?
Oh, what did they do?
Did they beat him?
What is it, darling?
Tell us.
Come, I demand to know.
Oh, well, they've gone and made him. Oh, dear, I just can't say it.
Out with it!
Made him a clown.
A clown?
No.
Yes.
Oh, the shame of it. Let us take the solemn vow. From now on, he is no longer an elephant.
Thank you.
performance.
Are we good?
13 curtain calls! 13!
You sure brought down the house, all right.
Oh, Mama, didn't we panic? Come out, Joey. Go ahead, ask me.
You said it! We rolled them in the aisle!
Boy, oh, boy, what a act!
Oh, what a act is right! Stupendous, I call it.
They'd have more respect for us clowns now.
Here, boys, this calls for a real celebration. Come and get it.
Poison, am I in toy stealing?
I could use one of them myself.
This one's on Dumbo.
Yeah, Dumbo.
Dumbo.
There's plaster in his eyes.
See? They're drinking a toast here. Yeah, they're a big hit. Fire. You're terrific. Oh, you're colossal, stupendous. Come on, alley-oop. I gotta wash behind your ears. You ought to be proud. You're a success. Look, a peanut. Come on, eat it. Got lots of vitamins. Give you a lot of pep. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Why, we're going over to see your mother. I made an appointment for you. Didn't I tell you? Just like me. I must have forgot. Come on, get your hat. Oh, right over there. Cozy little place, ain't it? This is Jumbo. I hope she's in. Someone to see you.
I can't get over the way we rolled them in the aisle.
Just wait till we hit the big time.
This gives me an idea. Let's raise the platform the elephant jumps off of.
Yeah, if they laugh when he jumps 20 feet, they'll laugh twice as hard if he jumps 40 feet.
Yeah,
that's right. Simple mathematics.
Let's make it 80 feet.
Don't be a piker. 180.
Make it 300.
1,000.
Yeah, that's good.
Be careful. You'll hurt the little guy.
Oh, go on. Elephants ain't got no feeling.
No, they're made of rubber.
This idea is sensational. Let's go tell the boss.
Yeah,
hey, Hey, let's hit him for a raise.
Yeah, sure. This is white real dough.
Oh, we're going to hit the big boss for a raise.
Yes, we're going to hit the big boss for a raise. Oh,
we're going to get more money. Because we know that we're funny. We're going to hit the big boss for a raise. I know how you feel, Dumbo. But you got to pull yourself together. What would your mother think of you if she saw you crying like this? Remember, you come of a proud race. Why, you're a pachydime. And pachydimes don't cry. What's crying get you anyhow? Nothing but the hiccups. There, you see? Well, ain't nothing little water won't cure. Oops-a-daisy. We'll have you fixed up in a jiffy. Come on. Here, take a trunk full. Listen, little fella. We may have had a lot of hard luck up till now, but you and me is going to do big things together. Hold your breath. Why, your mother's going to be so proud of you. I'm going to be proud of you, too. The whole circus is going to be proud of you. Now, what do you think of that? Swallow it. Oh, they can't keep us down. Oh, I guess you had one little one left over. Dumbo, we'll bounce back so hard. Hey, what's the matter with you? What kind of water is this, anyhow? Dumbo!
here they come, hippity-hoppity. They're here, and there are big elephants everywhere. Look out, look out. They're walking around the bed, on their head, clippity-cloppity. Parade, in great big elephants on parade.
What'll I do? What'll I do? What an unusual view.
I can stand the sight of worms and look at microscopic germs, but Technicolor pachyderms is really too much for me.
I am not the type to faint when things are odd or things are quaint, but seeing things you know that ain't can certainly give you an awful fright. What a sight!
Chase them away! Chase them away! I'm afraid, need your aid, big elephants on parade.
Down here anyway.
What are we doing down here? Well, hear him talk.
Fly up a tree where you belong.
Hey, look here.
Well, Brother Rat.
Brother Rat? Now listen, I ain't your brother and I ain't no rat, see?
Uh-huh. And I suppose you and no elephant ain't up in no tree either.
No, no, me and no tree ain't up no...
Tree?
think we're up in a tree.
Attention to them scarecrows. Come on, Dumbo. Let's get back to the circus.
So long, boy!
But I wonder how we ever got up in that tree anyway. Now, let's see. Elephants can't climb trees, can they? No, that's ridiculous. Wouldn't jump up. Mm-mm.
Hey there, son! Maybe you all flew up!
Maybe we flew up. Yeah, maybe we...
That's it! Dumbo! You flew! Boy, am I stupid! When I think of this before? Your ears! Just look at them, Dumbo! Why, they're perfect wings! The very things that held you down are going to carry you up and up and up!
I can see it all now.
Dumbo! The ninth wonder of the universe! The world's only flying elephant!
Did you ever see an elephant fly?
Well, I seen a horse fly.
I seen a dragon fly.
I seen a house fly.
See, I seen all that too. I seen a peanut stand, heard a rubber band. I seen a needle that winked its eye. But I be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly.
What you say, boy?
I said when I see an elephant fly. I seen a front porch swing, heard a diamond ring. I seen a polka dot railroad tie. But I be done seen about everything when I see an elephant fly. I saw a clothes horse, the ram and buck.
And they tell me that a man made a vegetable truck.
I didn't see that. I only heard.
Just be sociable, I'll take your word.
I heard a fireside chat.
I saw a baseball
man. I just laughed and I thought I'd die. But I'll be done seeing about everything when I see an elephant fly. Bow, 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 bow,
like you, picking on a poor little orphan like him. Suppose you was torn away from your mother when you was just a baby. Nobody to tuck you in at nights. No warm, soft, caressing trunk to snuzzle into. How would you like to be left out alone in a cold, cruel, heartless world? And why? I ask you, why? Just because he's got those big ears, they call him a freak. The laughing stock of the circus. Then when his mother tried to protect him, they threw him into the clink. And on top of that, they made him a clown. Socially, he's washed up. Oh, but what's the use of talking to you cold-hearted boys? Go ahead. Have your fun. Laugh at him. Kick him now that he's down. Go on. We don't care. Come on, Dumbo.
Hey, brother, wait a minute. Don't go away feeling like that. We done seen the light. You boys is okay.
Please, you've done enough.
Well, but we's all fixing to help you. Ain't that the truth, boy?
Where are they
going? Yeah, that's right.
You want to make the elephant fly, don't you? Well, you got to use a lot of collagen, you know, psychology. Now, here's what you do. First, you, and then right after that, you, Rudolph, use the magic feather. Catch on?
The magic feather? Yeah, I got you.
Dumbo, look, have I got it? The magic feather. Now you can fly.
Let's go. Let's go. Heave-ho.
Heave-ho. Let's go, Dumbo.
Let's go. Let's
go. Come on
now.
Up, heave-ho. Down, up, heave-ho. Down. One, two, heave-ho. One, two.
Dumbo. I guess it's just another one of their...
Look! Hot diggity! You're flying! You're flying!
Why, he flies just like an eagle.
Better than that, please.
Just a game. You can fly. Yes, you can. Hurry. Hurry.
folks. Well, thanks for coming by today, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and I tell you what, I done been seeing everything when I see an elephant fly. You know, what a wonderful story, man. Dumbo. That's what life's all about. Tell somebody in your family that you love them today, and make sure everybody knows how much you appreciate them, and cook some barbecue. You know, that's what getting together and having a good time is all about. It's about cooking up them ribs and them brisket or some of that other stuff that is so good in barbecue. And that's what living the barbecue lifestyle is about. It's about an everyday thing. It's not just one time a week. I mean, we can live a barbecue lifestyle every day. We slow life down and you enjoy yourself just a little bit. Well, this is Dale from Barbecue Superstars. We're going to head out. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to have Scrooge on tomorrow. We're going to do a full show of Scrooge, the original episode with Crackett and all that, and Ebenezer Scrooge. And we hope you all have a good rest of the day, and thanks for coming by and hanging out with Barbecue Superstars for just a few minutes.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your day merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
This has been a Barbecue Superstars Network production.